It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Orchards are a big draw in Door County at the height of apple picking season. We check in on fall tourism along the 300-mile stretch of Lake Michigan shoreline. And you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John Jarsh is Chief Communications Officer for the travel organization Destination Door County. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good to be with you this morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And you say that the fall months typically account for about one-third of Door County's hotel bookings for the year. What tourism demand are you expecting for this fall, this year?
Yeah, I think we're going to probably be right around that mark again. The fall season is really shaping up to be another good one in Door County with the colors that we get up here and all the natural beauty that's available for people to experience. And then you throw on all the different things that Door County has to offer just from a destination standpoint with the little villages and all the outdoor recreation. And so, yeah, I think it's shaping up to be another busy fall season here in Door County.
What effect do repeat visitors have on Door County's overall tourism numbers?
They certainly do. I can't put a number on it per se, but we know just anecdotally from talking to visitors and talking to local business owners who have those repeat customers. They not only are they an important economic component of our economy here, but really they sort of become like family. You know, that's one of the really special things about Door County. And because we have mostly small businesses, you're going to meet the owner. You're going to meet the family that owns the business. And you establish relationships with those repeat customers. And it really, instead of going to the name of the restaurant, you might say, well, we're going to so-and-so's place. You kind of insert the name of the owner. So that personal connection and those relationships that get built with repeat customers are some of the more special ones that we hear about up here.
And your organization reports that tourists spent over $466 million in Door County last year. How dependent is the county's financial well-being on tourism?
We're for better or for worse, we are certainly very dependent on tourism. We've got definitely a tourism economy here in Door County. Now, sure, there are definitely some other sectors of our economy. Tourism isn't the only business. We've got one of the largest shipyards on the Great Lakes here in Sturgeon Bay, and there are other industries in Door County, but certainly tourism is the biggest one and the one that is the biggest driver for local employment and just activity. And really, any new resident to Door County more than likely was a visitor first. Mm. And so that visitor experience really does play into our community in many, many ways.
When you look at your overall workforce, do your county's businesses have what they need to meet rising tourism demands?
So that has been a challenge for our tourism industry for decades. That's been consistent. And so no is the short answer. There never seem to be enough, U.S. workers, local residents, summer kids coming up for college to work for the summer. We'd certainly get by. But we've had to use other tools like the summer work travel program. A lot of people may know that as the J-1 visa program, where international students will come to Door County for the summer season. And so this year we had just under 500 of those students here to work in various parts of our industry. And other destinations around the country and certainly in the state of Wisconsin have utilized that tool just because seasonal tourism destinations in particular just never can get enough workforce. And so we're always looking for workers. But our business owners work hard and they always figure out a way to make a great experience available to their customers and to our visitors.
How receptive are local businesses with hiring an international workforce? What trends do you see there with workers on visas filling these vacancies?
Yeah, I mean, we look at that, and we actually work. One of my colleagues here at Destination Door County really is instrumental in making that process work smoothly up here. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of kids. Just think of just under 500 of those students coming to Door County for a season. They all speak English, of course, but they're all different skill sets, and they may get hired for different types of work in the tourism industry. But there our is our business community is very receptive. They're super welcoming to these kids. I think we're generally a welcoming group of people here in Door County, which is one of the reasons that so many people love it. But certainly that extends to our seasonal workforce, whether they're from the United States or they're from overseas somewhere. But our business community definitely embraced that. And believe it or not, they're actually working now. On workforce for next summer already. There's a bit of a lead time to get some of those international students here. And so it's a pretty lengthy process, but that's kind of what you have to do when you need to make sure to fill those roles.
John Jarsh with us, Chief Communications Officer for Destination Door County. You can join in with your questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Talk is here at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John, turning to hotels, Door County Pulse reports that Sturgeon Bay is spending $1.2 million to promote a new 62-room hotel in the city. How significant is the hotel industry on your economy?
Extremely significant for a couple of reasons. Obviously, anytime visitors come up to Door County, they got to stay overnight. That's ideally what we'd like them to do. And so the hotel industry, the lodging industry in general, it's certainly more than just hotels, does play a very critical component of our economy. Certainly when we look at economic impact, the hotel and the lodging sector is probably our biggest sector. About 48% of our economic impact last year came from the lodging sector.
Wow.
So definitely very, very important. In addition to that, the one key component that our hotel and our lodging community collects is a room tax. That's a fairly standard and common thing that visitors pay whenever they're staying overnight somewhere. But that room tax allows us to do many, many great things here in Door County. It allows our organization, which is the designated tourism entity, to do the work that we do to help promote Door County and to help manage it. But we've also been able to use some of those dollars just actually this year, beginning for the first time, in ways that kind of help the community and help to enhance our visitor experience as well. We started a new grant program called the Community Investment Fund that has been able to give out just under $600,000 this year to projects like land acquisition for parks, for new parks or expansion of parks, things like that. And it's really, really been, I think, a great opportunity for us to not only help show our visitors how we can enhance their experience when they're here with some of the dollars that they pay when they stay overnight, but it's also been a really good way and will continue to be a great way for us to show residents, the 30,000 of us that live in Door County year-round, how tourism can be a benefit to them and to us as collectively as residents.
Let me jump in and ask you this, though, as we talk about lodging. WPR is reporting here, we've done some reporting on this, that non-traditional lodging spaces like Airbnbs can raise local housing prices by more than 10%. How are short-term rentals affecting the housing situation in your area?
Well, they're certainly having an impact on the housing, and it's been great to see local organizations come together just here in the last month and a half or so with some new programming and some new opportunities to help. I was just at a groundbreaking ceremony yesterday for a single family workforce housing in the Sturgeon Bay area. And so there are some programs that are getting in place. But yes, it has been a strain. We've seen that across the country, for that matter. And so what's happening, and I think you generally will see this in a market, is, as something happens, so as STRs, short-term rentals, do start to have an impact on the local housing market, then you start to see some changes happen, some ordinances and some regulations where prior to probably a year ago, there really weren't many regulations, at least here in Door County.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are starting to see some things come into place to help protect and moving forward a better provide access to single family housing in Door County for families that need to obviously live here and work here and support all the 30,000 residents that are here, in addition to all our visitors that are coming up.
I would imagine, you know, Door County is really driven by a high number of jobs in hospitality and food service, which, you know, traditionally are lower paying sectors. Is the wage floor an issue in Door County? Do these workers have leverage as we look at the shortage of workers and these high housing costs?
They have leverage in the fact that obviously our restaurants, for example, need workers. And so I do think you'll find wages probably a little bit higher in some restaurants and in many restaurants in Door County compared to other parts of the state, just because, you know, you have to have those workers. And it is a compressed season, certainly not, even though we have things to do year round, that May through late October into November is really that bread and butter time when businesses up here make their money. Mm-hmm. And so I think wages in general are pretty decent. It's in Door County, especially at some of those food service places. One of the challenges that we're working through, though, is housing, for example, to make sure that housing can match the same wage perspective that our workers are making. And so that's why we're seeing more effort put into some workforce housing initiatives throughout the county, not just in Sturgeon Bay, for example, but in Sister Bay and Northern Door, Southern Door, and even over on Washington Island, perhaps.
Well, John, thank you so much for this tour. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it, and have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too. John Jarsh is Chief Communications Officer for the travel organization Destination Door County. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine cargo and shipping activity at the Port of Green Bay, the westernmost port of Lake Michigan, for reference. Port facility expansion there underway. We'll talk about that. And a recent study looks at how the port impacts the area's workforce. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at any point. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dean Hain is Port of Green Bay Director. Dean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Let's dig into this economic study first. The takeaway that the port brought in more than $217 million last year. That's around $70 million higher than when the previous report was released in 2017. What can you point to that has led to this growth?
Well, I think we've done a good job of diversifying cargo. And a lot of the cargoes that we're now moving just rely on more human labor. And so that is directly reflected in this economic impact study.
So more human labor, that means more jobs. The port supporting more than 1,600 jobs in Wisconsin. And that, too, is an increase of hundreds of jobs since 2017. But you also say the increase in jobs is from the kinds of cargo passing through the port. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. The port moves about 14 different commodities on an average year. And the petroleum products that we're moving, as well as wood pulp and break bulk cargoes like that, just result in more forklift drivers, truck drivers, dock workers. And then you have the indirect and induced jobs that result from those activities and those additional 300 jobs at the Port of Green Bay.
Do you have labor challenges at your port terminals?
Certainly, everyone's experienced labor challenges. Things seem to have improved. So we're in a much better spot than we were just a couple years ago.
Okay. So, you know, the Port of Green Bay is set to build this new port terminal. Cost of the project has increased by almost $19 million since it was first announced. How is the port covering the unexpected costs of this terminal build?
Well, that certainly is a challenge that we're working to overcome. We do have great local, state, and federal support. You know, unfortunately, we thought we had inadequate amount of funding for the whole project, but with cost of materials and increased cost of labor. The project has seen a significant increase, but we are optimistic that we'll be able to meet that challenge and secure direct or grant funding to make up the difference.
Dean, can you give us a tour of this new state-of-the-art port facility that will be coming online in the next few years? What will it be like?
Sure. Well, it's a decommissioned power plant that sits at the mouth of the Fox River where it meets the Bay of Green Bay. So it's at the deepest part of our port. It's got direct rail connectivity as well as connection to the interstate. So it's an ideal location for a port facility. Those ships that will visit that site won't have to go through any of the city bridges. So that will be less disruption and just a really efficient state-of-the-art facility. So it'll be dredged to maximum depths, have enough dock space for up to two ships. And then all the shoreside infrastructure will also be part of that development.
Do you think you'll be able to scale up commercial cargo shipping traffic to meet your new capacity load there with the new facility?
Certainly. We're confident we'll be able to expand the port and demonstrate port growth. And, we really look forward to the next economic impact study in about 5 years with this facility up and running.
Did the infrastructure law that, it's made big investments in the nation's ports, has that meant anything for the Port of Green Bay?
Certainly. Part of our $30 million that we've secured, $10 million of it has come from the federal government through a port infrastructure development program, as well as the state's harbor assistance program, and other funding sources have made this a reality. So we thought it would have been a much heavier lift, but with the infrastructure bill and, just a desire to invest in infrastructure, we've been able to secure $30 million in 1 year. So the $19 million might take a year or two, but we're confident we can get there as well.
We're talking about recent developments with the Port of Green Bay's port director. Dean Hain is here, and you can join in the conversation at any point. Call in with a question, add your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dean, how are supply chain issues, which we saw early on in the pandemic, how are they today in terms of your port terminals?
Well, a lot of the supply chain issues happened at the coast. Everyone remembers all the ships unable to offload.
Port of Los Angeles.
So those challenges have really heightened the awareness that we need alternative supply chain routes. And the Great Lakes and the waterway are a great growth opportunity to relieve some of that supply chain congestion on the coast. And there's a lot of movements afoot around the Great Lakes to be more resilient and have more cargoes and that coming in and out of the Great Lakes directly into the hinterland of the United States rather than hitting the coast and then being railed and then being trucked.
Do you find that you have to really push for that, lobby for that to get that cargo moving toward your port and really change shipping routes for some major companies?
Yeah, it is a challenge, but with the challenges that have happened on the coast, the manufacturers and interested parties in those cargoes are looking for different supply chains. So, it's a partnership, public-private partnership to see these things happen.
Okay. So, so keeping those communication lines open and looking for those alternatives and those possibilities, in general, then, is your port traffic pretty predictable and controllable at this point?
Well, we have the 14 commodities that I mentioned that move in and out, and every year some are up, some are down. So every year is a little different. And, the Port of Green Bay really supplies the agricultural, construction, and manufacturing industries in northeastern Wisconsin. So when they're all rolling and doing well, we see much higher tonnages, but they're not all going at the same time, so to speak. So right now, our port is tracking to be above where we were last year. So that's a good thing. And we're optimistic that the fall here and into early winter, we see a lot of cargo continuing to come into Green Bay.
I wonder if inflationary pressures that, you know, we see in our own lives, are you able to see any of those impacts through your port activity or through your cargo?
Well, getting back to the port project, that's exactly what we're experiencing. That cost increase of that project is driven by inflation and you know, costs of like steel and other things. So we're seeing that on the construction side, certainly on the cargo side. Yes, but maybe not as impactful as that construction project has experienced it.
Port Milwaukee last year reintroduced recreational cruises to its area. Do you foresee any recreational cruising activity at the Port of Green Bay?
Yes, we've had a couple of cruise ships each year the last couple of years. We're hoping to grow that. You know, we find ourselves, you know, tucked down into the Bay of Green Bay. So, you know, as cruise ships, they like to have ports of call and let the people off and enjoy the community for a day. And so we're somewhat challenged in that with the additional travel distance into Green Bay and out to hit the next port. We're not ideally located, but we have so many good amenities in northeastern Wisconsin, and the Packers and the Oneida Tribe and natural beauty and, you know, German and other Dutch heritage that those cruise ships will find us.
Port of call is Lambeau Field, if you could connect the two, right?
Yeah, that's a draw for sure.
So, you know, I'm wondering, too, there's been such a push for ports to have greener systems, to reduce emissions, you know, and really figure out ways to address those, you know, those emissions issues. And I'm wondering if you're looking at that as a port.
Yes, we are. And we are the greenest mode of transportation. We move large volumes of cargo per ton mile with the least amount of fuel consumption, which results in, you know, less emissions. So moving things by water, you know, one ship will take, you know, almost 2,000 trucks off the road or, you know, 100 rail cars. So when we're doing 200 ships a year, we are already doing, you know, our part for the environment.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, as you look ahead into next year, do you find that you're going to be, you know, trying to grow the more port activity, or do you find that things will stabilize a bit? What do you see in your crystal ball?
Well, we like to look at the port, and we're kind of like a leading indicator. So when the, you know, when the port is doing strong, if we end strong in the fall, that means our industries that we're serving are looking to for a strong beginning of next year. So we're kind of like a 6 month forecaster of the economic environment. Because these manufacturers and farmers and construction workers are bringing in raw materials that they're planning to use in the future. So I guess I kind of look at us as a leading indicator of northeastern Wisconsin's economic outlook.
Yes, that makes sense. Dean, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dean Hain is Port of Green Bay Director. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.